What was it like on 9/11 to be one of the dozens of fighter pilots stationed at points across the country charged with protecting it? More to the point, what was it like to be one of the two fighter pilots at Otis National Guard Base on Cape Cod here in Massachusetts? The men were going about their regular duties when word of hijacked planes came. Here they tell their story.
I'm Lieutenant Colonel Nash, Dan Nash. Call sign is Nasty.
And I'm Colonel Tim Duffy, and my call sign is Duff. Around 8:30 or so, a call came in, and Sergeant Mark Rose was behind the desk, and he picked up the phone, and he said, "Hey, Colonel, you get a phone call?"
We got that phone call at 8:37.
I asked him, I said, "Well, who is it?" Because I didn't think anybody even knew I was on alert except my wife, so I figured she might be calling down for something. And he said, "It's Otis Tower, something about a hijacking."
Hey, I'm getting reports from my trade code that there might be a possible hijacking.
I'm just hearing the same thing. We're working it right now.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, bye.
So at that point, I had a radio in my pocket, and I just picked it up and said, "Alpha Kilo 1 and 2, suit up." So that was for Nasty and I to start moving.
So as we were walking through the door after getting suited up, the horn went off for battle stations.
John, we got Otis on battle stations.
Battle stations is the order to go to the jets and sit in them and wait to start.
Actually, Nasty was going to be number one. I was going to be number two for the mission. I was going to be the wingman. And as we were getting suited up, I just mentioned to Nasty, I said, "Have you ever done a hijacking before?" He said, "No." And I said, "I have. Years before, I had intercepted a hijacked, I believe it was Lufthansa jet." So at that point, Nasty passed me the lead. He said, "Okay, you take the lead. I'll be number two."
Right. So we got into the jets for battle stations. The green light went off to give us the scramble order.
SDMCC, scramble Otis.
Duff taxied out as number one. And while we were taxiing out, I followed him, and we got the words to climb to a certain altitude and a certain heading in the direction of New York City.
I got this lat long 4115, 7436, or 7346. Head them in that direction.
We're going down there. We're accelerating to 1.3, 1.4. So we're doing a mile every 3-4 seconds. We're kind of hauling the mail getting down there, and actually Nasty even called me up at one point and said, "Hey, Duff, you're going supersonic." You know, I said, "Yeah, okay, we're not supposed to do that." But this time, I figured we were high enough, we weren't going to blow out any windows or do any damage, so we kept the mock-up trying to get there as quick as we could.
Okay, American Airlines is still airborne. 11, the first guy, he's heading towards Washington. Okay, I'm going to take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find him.
I remember shortly after takeoff, you could see the smoke because it was so clear. The smoke from the towers burning.
I think I even said to Nasius to tell me that's a cloud. He came back and said, "No, that's smoke."
And then we were about 70 miles out when they said a second aircraft has hit the World Trade Center.
They say he just crashed into the World Trade Center. That was the last call.
Yeah, we didn't know that the first plane had hit. I guess first notification of any sort that the towers had been hit is when they said the second aircraft just hit the World Trade Center, which was a surprise to both of us.
So my question was, what happened to American 11? I mean, I'm asking this in my head. We don't have CNN in the cockpit. So anybody who was watching the news had a better idea of what was going on than we did.
This is what I foresee that we probably need to do. We need to talk to FAA. We need to tell them if this stuff is going to keep on going, we need to take those fighters and then put them over Manhattan. That's the best play right now.
They came back and told us we had a new mission to proceed direct to Manhattan and set up a combat air patrol. For Nasty and I, we went down and basically we were just going to set up a point defense over Ground Zero, if you will. And from that point, we just draw a ring around the city, and we're just trying to make sure we can identify and either, you know, escort the land or turn away or do whatever we need to do to keep it from happening again.
Aircraft over the White House.
We just needed to look out for another threat, if there was one.
You need to read this. Region commander has declared that we can shoot down tracks that do not respond to our direction.
Okay. It was never an order or anything like that. They said, "You may have to shoot down the next hijack track," and you understood. Because they even came back and said, "Do you have a problem with that?" You know, and I was thinking, well, if I have a problem with that, I'm probably the wrong person to be sitting in a single-seat fighter, you know. And a lot of taxpayers' money would be wasted 20 years later, and I can't do what I have to when the time comes. So I thought it was very unprofessional on their part. When the first tower fell, I was escorting a Delta jet into JFK. Because I saw some motion just out of the corner of my eye, and I turned and looked, and lower Manhattan was like a big tan cloud over it. You know, it was just completely engulfed, but I could see a little bit of one of the towers. And I called up and said, "Hey, I think one of the towers went down." And they called back and said, "Yeah, we got on CNN. Cell tower just collapsed." And I said, okay, you know, and I just kind of went back to work. And I think that's what Nancy and I were kind of trying to do all day is, you know, you had to keep refocusing on, you can't get emotional. And it was like you flip a switch and you kind of go in that combat mode where you're like, okay, people are dying right now. You know, it's all focus, no emotion. So that's where it was for the first one.
The second tower, we were both in formation relatively close to each other. And I guess directly above when the second tower collapsed.
So we flew right up over the top of it, and we're looking down at it, and I was looking at the square, and I remember thinking I was just going to make a radio call saying, hey, it looks good because it's not leaning or twisted or anything. And as I'm looking at the square of the roof, it starts getting smaller. And also I saw the plume coming out of the bottom. It was falling away from me when we're looking at it. And I can say that's the one time during the day where, you know, I was just getting ready to tell him, I think he can probably save the building. You know, and I'm thinking, well, they're probably thinking the same thing, sending guys in. And, you know, from an emotional standpoint, I think that was the hardest part of the day was watching that go down. You know, give yourself a little bit of time to, you know, 10, 15 seconds, whatever it is, to kind of be horrified. And then you just have to kind of push it out of your mind. Not that you won't deal with it at some point, but just not now.
The one over Cleveland turned around, looks like he's heading back to the east. The guy down at York, Pennsylvania, he's heading at north-northwest.
Okay, we might be able to get those two.
Yeah, and the call sign for the guy in York is United 93.
I can tell you that my biggest emotion was anger and frustration that we were not in a better position to prevent it. If you think back, nobody was going to give us an order to shoot down American 11, even if we had been scrambled at the right time.
It didn't matter if we had gotten there 15 or 20 minutes earlier. It wouldn't have mattered. Just the way the scenario was playing out, we wouldn't have been cleared to shoot. You know, it wasn't until the second plane hit that it became clear we were under attack. So I think the frustration comes that way, that it was in a no-win kind of situation. And, you know, here we are with very, very capable planes, you know, with trained pilots in them, and there's nothing we can do about it. I think that kind of frustration was tough to deal with, you know, kind of going through that because there's nothing you could do. It's not a happy story, but it is an important story, and you want to make sure that people understand what we did and why we did. Because whenever we start telling it, I get questions all the time. People have all kinds of questions around what we did and why we did what we did. And when you start explaining to them whatever limitations we had, whether it was flying or, you know, knowledge or whatever, you know, of the situation, whatever it might be, or even legalities, you know, then they go, oh, okay, that makes sense. But, you know, without that, they don't. So
I don't want there to be misinformation out there. And I want the public to know that we're doing everything we can, and we are more ready now. We're here to protect you.
Lieutenant Colonel Dan Dash, call sign Nasty. Colonel Tim Duffy, call sign Duff. The two flew to Manhattan after word of a hijacking on 9/11. The same minute they took off from their base on Cape Cod, the first plane hit the World Trade Center. Our story was produced by Lisa Tobin and Michael May of our home station, WBUR.